Last month, we taught you how evening light can worsen mood. Today, we teach you how to fix that. Welcome to Psych Pearls Podcast with Psychiatric Times, the voice of psychiatry. With thoughtful insights into the world of mental health, this podcast provides timely clinical commentary and practical cutting-edge pearls for you and your practice. We hope you enjoy.
I'm Chris Aiken, the Mood Disorders Section Editor for Psychiatric Times and the Editor-in-Chief of the Carlatt Psychiatry Report.
And I'm Kelly Newsom, a psychiatric NP and the co-host of the Carlatt Psychiatry Podcast. Evening light worsens sleep and mood. And last August, we unraveled the biology behind that association. To recap, evening light, particularly the blue wavelength, suppresses melatonin, worsening two systems that are already fragile in people with mood disorders, sleep and circadian rhythms. In animal studies, it even altered the core architecture of the brain, shrinking the dendritic spines that help us learn while we sleep. But you don't have to go into the woods and live deliberately to fix this problem. Today we'll teach you how to use blue light filters to stabilize the circadian rhythms that regulate mood and sleep, and how to use them in dark therapy, a behavioral therapy for mania.
First, a little physiology. The eye has two well-known photoreceptors. There's the rods that see black and white, and the cones that add color vision. But in the 1990s, a new photoreceptor was discovered, melanopsin. And melanopsin only responds to the blue wavelength of light. And what melanopsin does is it tells the brain through this blue wavelength whether it's day or night. It doesn't add anything to the visual image in our brain. It just regulates the circadian rhythm. In olden days, this system worked pretty well because we didn't have much blue light in the evening. There was candles, starlight, fireplaces, all in the yellow wavelength of light.
Except once a month when the blue moon was full. And it's no coincidence the word lunatic arose in the Middle Ages as a term for mental illness. It was believed that some people went into temporary bouts of insanity that followed the lunar cycle, the moon. 700 years later, reports linking the full moon to worsening of psychiatric disorders continue to roll in.
And in the modern world, every night is a full moon because cell phones, plasma TVs, and energy-efficient bulbs all emit a lot of blue light. But technology has also come in to the rescue in the form of blue light filtering glasses. These are amber-colored glasses, and when you wear them, they filter out close to 100% of blue light. They've gained popularity among sports figures and celebrities because wearing them at night improves sleep, which then raises cognitive and athletic performance. But most models out there do not filter enough blue light to make a meaningful difference in psychiatric disorders. We recommend the glasses that were used in clinical research, and there are two types. Some studies have used UVEX glasses, which are around $10 to $15 on Amazon, specifically the UVEX UltraSpec 2000 model S0360X, which fits over your regular glasses. And then there's the UVEX Skyper model S1933X, which is for people who don't wear spectacles. We have links to these in the script for this episode. Other studies have used glasses from lowbluelights.com. Any pair on that site will work. These are a little more fashionable designs and more comfortable around the ears, but at a higher price, around $50.
I keep a pair of these glasses at my desk for patients to try on. They're usually surprised to see the world looks quite pleasant through them. They don't make things dark, but give the world a relaxing yellow hue. Some patients find them so soothing that I have to warn them not to wear them during the day, because doing so will flip their circadian rhythm in the wrong direction. When you wear them, your brain will think it's in pitch darkness, and we only want that effect at night.
Wearing blue light filters has real biological effects. When you put the glasses on, your melatonin starts to rise, the same as it does in a pitch dark room. Sometimes patients ask if they can just take melatonin instead, but that doesn't have the same effect. in a recent randomized controlled trial, taking artificial melatonin did nothing to stabilize mood in bipolar disorder. So it's not enough to have the melatonin drizzled on the brain. There are other biological effects involved in pumping out the brain's endogenous melatonin that are necessary here. If you want to know more about the biological effects of light and darkness, listen to our August 2nd podcast on blue light, depression, and bipolar disorder. Now, let's move on to the clinical research.
The origins of dark therapy. In the 1980s, Tom Weir and Norman Rosenthal made a surprise discovery while working at the National Institute of Mental Health. Some patients had worsened depression in the wintertime that improved with light therapy. Their research suggested that circadian rhythms played a strong role in mood disorders, something that was already hinted at by the high rates of insomnia in major depression, and the fact that a night without sleep often triggered an episode of mania. So Dr. Weir turned his attention from morning light to evening darkness. He began with normal subjects and placed them in a pitch-dark room for 14 hours overnight, imitating a dark winter night where the sun goes down at 6 p.m. and rises at 8 a.m. The subjects were a little sleep-deprived before the experiment, getting about 7 hours per night, something Dr. Weir thought might be due to the artificial evening light of modern life. After a few weeks in the dark bedroom, their sleep stabilized to 8 hours and 15 minutes per night, closer to the recommended amount an adult needs.
Then in 1994, a man came to the NIMH seeking help for rapid cycling bipolar disorder. Most patients don't call up the NIMH to get help, so we can imagine this man had a pretty bad case. He was a successful engineer with a hyperthymic temperament, meaning he was always a little hypomanic in his baseline. But in his 40s, he developed depression and started fluoxetine, Prozac, and nortriptyline. He got better on this combination, but then went into a 4-year bout of rapid cycling moods, cycling in and out of depression and hypomania every 1 to 2 months. Mood stabilizers did not help, so he came to the NIMH and saw Dr. Weir. Dr. Weir knew that sleep disruption could trigger rapid cycling, and he wondered if his super dark room could stabilize it. He put the patient through the same protocol that he used for sleep, placing him in a pitch dark room for 14 hours each night. With this dark therapy, the patient improved so rapidly that they eased the schedule from 14 hours of darkness to 10 hours each night, that is, from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. He stayed well on that regimen, and that is how dark therapy was born.
But the treatment didn't really take off. First, it's hard to get patients in a pitch dark room overnight. We're talking so dark that you can't see your hands in front of your face. Second, we need more than an intriguing case report to put this into practice. The first problem was resolved in the early 2000s by psychiatrist Jim Phelps.
Dr. Phelps was working in private practice in Oregon when he chanced upon 3 discoveries that would open up new therapeutic doors for bipolar disorder. First, he learned about Dr. Weir's research on dark therapy. Then he learned about this new photoreceptor, melanopsin, that set the circadian rhythm by responding to blue light. He wondered if dark therapy could be accomplished by blocking only the blue wavelength of light, and that brought him to the third piece of the puzzle. Blue light filtering glasses. Other fields of medicine had already raised alarms about the hazards of evening blue light, such as increased risk of cancer and heart disease, and a company, lowbluelights.com, was manufacturing these filters to improve sleep and health. Dr. Phelps called this virtual darkness and tried the glasses out on his patients. For some, the glasses did nothing, but for about half of his patients, their sleep got better when they wore the glasses 1 to 2 hours before bed. He then discovered that welders at a local shop were using blue light filters to protect their eyes while they worked. This allowed him to expand the treatments further because these factory-grade lenses were only $7. Dr. Phelps tested them, and they fit the bill. Later, Consumer Reports ran tests of blue light blocking lenses and concluded that these UVEX safety lenses he was using are among the strongest blue light filters. Dr. Phelps tested the waters and published some of his work. Other small publications followed, but the definitive study was a full-scale randomized controlled trial in 2016 that took place in patients who were hospitalized for mania. During their hospital stay, the patients were all instructed to wear glasses in the evening, putting them on at 6 p.m. and taking them off at 8 a.m. unless they were in a dark room. Meanwhile, they all received their usual medication treatments for mania. The only difference was that half of them got the real blue light filtering glasses, in this case from lowbluelights.com, while the other half got placebo glasses. They were kind of gray-colored. After a week, the differences were dramatic, with an effect size of 1.9 separating the two groups. That's pretty big. For you statisticians out there, that means that there was no overlap in the confidence intervals between the two groups on the main outcome of the Young Mania Rating Scale.
The Dark Therapy Protocol. You don't need to be in the hospital to do this therapy. Dr. Phelps has had success using it in an outpatient practice, and we have as well. Here's how you do it. The original protocol required manic patients to be in either pitch darkness or virtual darkness, that is, with the amber glasses on, for 14 hours, from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. It took about a week for the mania to improve, and as it did, the protocol was relaxed a bit, from 14 hours per night to 10 hours per night. So instead of putting the glasses on at 6 p.m., they'd put them on at 7 p.m., then 8 p.m., and for prevention, they would move it to 9 or 10 p.m. They don't wear the glasses while asleep. That's what the pitch-dark bedroom is for. But they do put them on if they are awake and the lights are on. And the pitch darkness really does matter. Even light as dim as a nightlight on can interfere with melatonin secretion. In a large epidemiologic study of older adults, sleeping with a nightlight on doubled the risk of depression over 2 years compared to a pitch dark bedroom. But how do they get their bedroom pitch dark in this electric light world? Blackout curtains, electrical tape over LEDs, towels or draft snakes under doors, or sleeping in the basement. If there is still stray light, patients can also sleep with a good eye mask. Troubleshooting.
One problem we run into is patients who feel they can't sleep without the TV on. Usually the reason is depressive rumination. These patients rely on the TV to distract them from their negative ruminative thoughts. If that's the case, we recommend ambient music or boring audiobooks instead. Another problem is patients who are afraid of the dark, such as those with PTSD. Here we have a technological solution. They can use amber-colored nightlights that don't emit blue light. These are available at lowbluelights.com and on Amazon for around $12. We've listed links to a few in the online text.
One modification we don't recommend is to rely on blue light filters on laptops and cell phones. Most devices have a setting that turns down the blue in the evening, and no doubt this is certainly a good thing and we'd recommend it in conjunction with dark therapy. But it doesn't filter 100% and isn't going to take care of the background lights. You can find this feature in your smartphone settings, or if you're using a laptop, try downloading f.lux, f.lux, for Windows, or Candlelight by Oliver Denman for Mac. But what if your patient can't put the glasses on at 6 p.m.? Remember the 14-hour protocol was used for hospitalized mania, and they loosened it up as the patient got better. In practice, you might use dark therapy for hypomania, mild mixed states, or as an early intervention for mild mania. In those cases, putting the glasses on 2 hours before bed might be enough.
It's also important to set up expectations. Tell your patient that dark therapy is going to help stabilize their mood, but it may not help them fall asleep. A lot of times, patients will give up on dark therapy because they think it is supposed to help them sleep. It's very hard for a manic person to sleep. Here's an interesting pearl from that controlled trial. The patients who got better with dark therapy didn't actually sleep more. They slept a little less than the placebo group, but their sleep did get more regular. It went from sleeping and waking at random times to a more steady, stable circadian pattern.
Dark therapy for insomnia. Dark therapy improves mania, but what does it do to sleep? We found three randomized controlled trials that tested them out in insomnia, and they had a large effect, helping patients stay asleep longer, fall asleep earlier, and deepening sleep quality. One of them used the blue light blockers as an adjunct to CBT insomnia, where half the patients had the behavioral therapy with placebo glasses and half used the blue light blockers. Not only did sleep improve with the blockers, but so did anxiety and depression. Another study looked at performance on cognitive tests after wearing the glasses, and that got better as well, probably because the patients were sleeping better. In the sleep studies, patients put the glasses on 1.5 to 2 hours before bedtime. Blue light blockers have been used successfully in jet lag, and they tend to help night owls fall asleep earlier.
I wear them myself, and I can attest to that. I'm more patient and have better attention, a little quicker on my feet, the next day if I wore them before bed. At least, that's what people who know me well say.
Dark therapy for depression. Blue light blockers have a big effect in mania and rapid cycling. And for sleep, they deepen sleep quality and turn night owls into morning people. But can they help depression? We know from animal studies and epidemiologic studies that blue light causes depression. But when it comes to clinical studies using blue light blockers to treat depression, the results are mixed. In the CBT insomnia study, they did improve depressive symptoms, but those patients had clinical insomnia, not clinical depression. Beyond that, we have only two controlled trials, one positive, one negative. The positive one was small, 27 subjects. And centered on postpartum depression, where nocturnal awakening is the norm. The negative study was also small, 20 subjects, and included depressed patients with insomnia. The investigators suspected that the glasses might not have worked because the patients found them uncomfortable and did not wear them as much as they should. Warnings.
Blue light filters have beneficial biological effects when used in the evening. But can they have side effects? Nothing major showed up in the studies, possibly headaches, and there are reports of depression in some patients. This usually improves by putting the glasses on later, say at 7 or 8 p.m. instead of 6 p.m. Although you can see pretty clearly through these glasses, we don't recommend wearing them when you drive. Color vision would be distorted, and you might miss some of the lights.
We have links to recommended brands of blue light blockers in the text to this podcast. And we hope to see you again on Psych Pearls. And you can also catch us every Monday on the Carlite Psychiatry Podcast.